The reading for the meditation of God's Word is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, which is the first book of the New Testament. Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. This is the Word of God. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means "God with us." When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Beloved, there were hundreds of years between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And then suddenly, God began to fulfill his promises of the promised Messiah. God introduces his son, the very Son of God, through two names. As you saw in our text, verse 21, we see that his name was Jesus. For it says he will save us from our sins, the Messiah. And secondly, verse 23, we see that his name is Emmanuel, which means God with us. And friends, in Christmas, for us, is a time where we celebrate. A time with lights and decorations in which we see houses being lit up with all kinds of decorations of different kinds of light. A time wherein we remember this great miracle, the Son of God born in a manger. Tonight, I want to share about the greatest and brightest light of all. A light in which, if we would see that light in its fullness, all the lights of this Christmas time would look very dim and very dark. For the Bible says in Matthew 4, verse 16, "The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region in the shadow of death, on them a light has dawned." Now, we must know that the people of Jesus' time had as much sunlight as we did. They weren't living in perpetual night time. They had as much light, sunshine as we, and perhaps in this place, they had more light than in Grand Rapids. Now, they knew a great many things, but what it's speaking about here, this darkness that they dwelled in, is not the darkness, not the physical darkness, not the absence of the sun, but it's really the darkness of the heart. There was not much light in the heart. And so, they knew many things, but they did not know God himself. And that is what it means to live in the light, to know God himself. And without the knowledge of God, this world is indeed very dark. Now, why were they without God? Well, this is the answer. Their sins had created a division between themselves and God, is what the prophet Isaiah says. They had turned away from God by their sins. And so, even though God was there, they could not see God because there was sin blocking between God and them. And as in a way, there might be a great sunshine, but if you lock yourself up in a room without windows, that light will not benefit you at all, even though it might be as close to you as your neighbor. Their sins blocked their sight from seeing God who made them. And the world without God is like a world without light. Imagine you walk in a room and you're somewhat familiar with this room. You kind of know where the big things are, and you kind of know how to walk your way across the room without stumbling. But then suddenly, there's a power outage, and the light goes off. Then what happens? Suddenly the room becomes a kind of scary, because you can stumble upon things, and you start to move with your hands around, because you don't know where the objects exactly are, because you don't have the light, you don't see it very well as you did before. And so suddenly, you don't see the beauty of the room. Suddenly, you don't see that nice painting on the wall. Suddenly, you don't find that comfortable chair so easily. And suddenly, you are scared to walk around the room, and you begin to shake with fear in some way. You see, without the light, every place becomes a different place. Imagine if suddenly the light will go out in this room and there'll be only utter darkness. I think we would all be very afraid, would we not? It'd be a scary thing. Well, how do we get out of the door? Well, where was the door? Well, we all know it now. We see it. There's no doubt in our mind where the door is. There's no doubt who is sitting around us. But when the light is off, we don't see the beauty and we don't see the world that we live in. And so the Bible says that by our sins, we have pushed God out of our hearts. And the Bible says we've become unclean. We become like criminals or lawbreakers. And our imaginations have become unclean. And well, you say, well, no, surely not my imaginations. Well, what if we were to put your imaginations upon the screen behind us? That'd be a fearful sight. Even though we know that probably all of us have imagination we don't want to share, we certainly don't want our imagination to be on the screen. You see, suddenly we begin to see that even our own imaginations might be darker than we had imagined before. But how about our words? Those words that we whisper about other people, the way that we speak about our president, or any other person in politics, or any other person above us, the way that we have spoken about our brothers and sisters, the way that we have spoken about our parents, or the way that we have spoken about colleagues, suddenly we are not as bright and as light as we thought we were. Or our feelings and desires, are they all pure? Married man, are all your feelings and desires pure before the light of God? That's the question, isn't it? You see, we can all dress up very nice, and I've dressed up very nice for this occasion. But before God, I can't hide the things in my heart. When the light begins to shine, things will be revealed. And so the Bible says they've become like an unclean person, like a person with leprosy, one who has an infectious skin disease that slowly eats the person up. Now imagine if a leprous person would come into this place. We would smell him right away as soon as the door was opened. And we would see him come down the aisle, and we would be in a way disgusted with the way he looks and the way that his garment looks. And at the other time, we would have pity upon him because we see that he's in such great suffering. And yet we didn't want to come close in a way because we thought, well, what if I get that infectious disease? This is a picture of us and our sin. It's a hard picture, isn't it? It's not a wonderful picture of let me tell you how good you really are. But it's the truth. Now, we can deny that truth in some way, but we will all one day will have to confess our sins before God when we will be in the full light of who we are. Then it will be revealed. Now, we do not want to make things look more beautiful or more pure before they are really made pure. Isn't this the truth? If you were to walk to your out of the house and you would go to your office and your shirt has a big coffee stain right across the chest, would you want your wife to tell you, or do you want your wife to say, I'm just want to be very kind to you, I'm not going to talk to you about the stain on your shirt? You said, no, I prefer her to tell me because then I could change the shirt. Then I can be cleansed and then I can walk and people in the office will not all say, well, how did you come in this way? Well, in the same way, my dear friends, we must go through a clear and honest self-examination of who we are before God. We first must understand the darkness before we can understand the light. And so our text comes to us not as a text that says, you are dark, you're in sin, and you go to hell. Good luck. No. This is the glory of Matthew 1, after that long period between the old and the new covenant. This is a message of hope. This is what you've been hearing. Sing, Mary, did you know who this baby was? This was the Son of God. Why would this glorious God that is pure and holy and righteous, why would he come and walk among men whom he even describes that are sick and full of leprosy? For this very reason, my dear friends, because he is a loving God who has come to bring salvation. And so he came, as we saw in our text, by the name of Jesus. Jesus means deliverer. He came to deliver us from our sins. He came to cleanse us clean. If a leper would come in here and we would say, well, it's a disgusting sight in one way or another, what could we do? We would step back and we say we have no power, but here comes Jesus down from heaven, not being only able to say he has leprosy, but also to take that leprosy away and to cleanse him from all his sin, to wash all his imaginations pure and all his words, and to change his desires and to make him spotless and pure as a deliverer from their sins. You see, once you know the stain, you can bring it and cleanse it to Christ. And so we see that he came to cleanse this people. He presents to them perfect and spotless before God. He came to crush the power of Satan. We read this evening from Genesis 3, where God had promised a Savior who would destroy the works of evil. Yes, sin has entered this world, but God promised a seed. Do you remember that? Do you remember that when Adam sinned by the temptations of Satan, that God said to Satan, you will crush his heel, but her seed will crush your head. My dear friends, this is Jesus Christ. He is the seed that is promised through all the Old Testament and now comes to light in the New Covenant and the New Testament. He is, the name is Jesus, the one who delivers from the sin. He is the seed, the Son promised in Genesis 22, God's own Son. Jesus left heaven to come down into this world full of pain and hardship. He did not arrive in chariots of fire with countless of angels, which, beloved, he could. He came as a baby, as like one of us. He was not born in some luxurious palace with servants to make sure there was no discomfort in his life at all. No. He came in a manger among the lowest class of people. He became a friend of sinners. He came to eat at their homes, and he revealed to them in their weakness and in their hardships the very love of God. My dear friend, if you are a sinner, that is great news. Because he didn't come to let sinners be sinners. He came to bring sinners home to himself, to establish a relationship with you, my friend. And sometimes we hear of some hero who has gone through hard times and has traveled land and sea to save their child or to bring a person back from war. My dear friend, Jesus, God himself, he came down from heaven to this earth, and he came into this world as a baby so that he could give his life for your sins, so that he can cleanse and wash you free and once and for all take away that enmity between you and God, so that when you come before him after this life, you would know him forever. You would be his friend, his very son forever. He didn't just come as a baby. But he came to give his life, my friend. He was despised and spit upon, not for his own sake, but for my sake, for your sake. He went on the cross, was beaten, his back blown with many stripes for your sins. For your sins, my dear friend. He came to make you clean, to open the doors of heaven, and to say, yes, you have sinned, but my power, the power of my blood, is stronger than all your sin, and he can wash you thoroughly clean and present you holy before God. Secondly, his name is Emmanuel. That is, Jesus is God. He came to walk as God with us. Here is God, perfectly holy, perfectly lovely, perfectly true, coming to walk with us. And we have just seen, in a way, our sins on the screen. And he says, I want to not just know you, I want to walk with you. I want to be with you. I want to be your father and your closest friend. God with us speaks of God's desire to befriend us, to embrace sinners as his people, to cleanse and adopt sinners into his home. Do you see now, my dear friends, why I begin so dark and so grim and so direct towards your heart, and which away I was rude in the eyes of this world? But my dear friend, to know that you're a sinner is the greatest key, because it brings the entire gospel to your very feet. It opens the entrance to Jesus Christ, because he came to wash sinners clean. He did not only come to be among us and then return. No, my friend, he came among us to bring us home to God. He came to prepare a people who know him and love him and walk with him forever. He came not as God with me, but as God with us, to gather a great multitude of people to be his children, to be his people forever, to be his household. That's why we call one another brothers and sisters, because we are so through Christ. He came to bring us into his household. And this, my dear friend, is the true light and beauty of Christmas. And it reflects so powerful upon the darkness of our sins. Oh, my dear friend, let this light of God shine upon your heart. You can shut the door of your own heart, but you know your own heart. I do not. But God does. And God says this very night, if you would open that door, if you let Christ wash you from your sin, you will be clean. For it says, all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And if you, no matter how far you've gone, no matter how deep you've sinned, even if your spouse doesn't know the fullness of your sins, even if nobody else knows, bring them to God and turn away from your sins, and you will be saved. You will be cleansed. That is the light of Christmas. That is the dawning of a great light. It brings not only us to God, but God with us. Now, my friend, look to Christ, and you will be moved out of darkness into light. And you will walk for the rest of your life and all eternity in the light of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Blessed God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, how marvelous is your word. Oh Father, who are we that you care about us, and yet you have made us and brought to us your very Son for salvation. Oh Father, I pray that you would turn every heart towards you. Oh Father, I pray that you would plead with every heart, and that you would bring them in by your gospel and by your power. Oh, Father, I pray, let the light of Christmas dawn upon our heart and make us see the glory, the true light of this world, Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, I pray for every man, woman, and child in this building, that you would speak to everyone personally, directly, about Jesus Christ. Father, I pray this with boldness in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.